peoples as they had in Jerusalem, I suppose. They had as much wealth and they had as much manpower, and probably they had as much belief as the children of Israel. So they had built mighty temples. They had built mighty altars for these heathen gods, and they built high places for them to worship their heathen gods on. And he said, when you go into this promised land and you see these beautiful places that have been built to keep from being tempted to worship our God in these places, so that no chance of any trace of idolatry will be mixed together with a pure worship of God, he said, tear these places down. Regardless if you have nothing more than a rock to worship God on, you tear this temple down, because his pure worship will not be profaned by anything that might come in and spoil this pure doctrine. It's an importance of that we must maintain the doctrine that he has established for us. Regardless whether it's Old Testament or New Testament, we are to maintain the doctrine. He gives us a warning. He says, what things soever I command you, observe to do it, ye shall not add thereto nor diminish from it. We don't have the authority, we don't have the ability to change God's gospel. We don't have the authority to go over God's head and try to add something to what he has described to prescribe for us on how we're to worship. We don't have the authority and ability to take away and say, I don't want to do that. Just because God told me to, this times are different. We need to change. We're your old-fashioned, your primitive Baptists. We need to move up and add this to our church. We need to take this away because it don't quite fit in today's society. But he says, observe to do it. Don't add to it. Don't take nothing away. Don't alter it anyway. Do as God has commanded you to do. Worship him because he has brought you out of bondage and brought you to this promised land. In the 13th chapter, he says, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign of wonder, and the sign of the wonder come to pass, wherever he's speaking to thee, saying, let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. If there arises anybody that tries to dilute or pollute the pure doctrine of grace, if there anybody comes up and said, I've got a better way, this is more convenient, he said, reject them. These are false prophets. We don't have this authority. We don't profess any ability to change God's doctrine. He said, the reason you're to do this, the reason we're to reject all this and maintain the pure doctrine of God, he says, because ye are the children of the Lord your God. He says, for thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord has chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations of the earth. These peculiar people, these holy people, these children of God, they had an established rule of worship. But it was for Old Testament times. And one of the ways they were to worship, besides all the daily activities, said that they were to appear before the Lord three times each year. When they got into the promised land, they were to obey God's commands, but they were to appear and keep the feast. They were to appear before the Lord three times of the year. In the springtime, they were to come together and present the feast of the Passover. Now this consisted of a Passover meal, but it was a feast of a Passover, consisted of more than one thing. It said when they come together, it was in the springtime, and when they celebrate the feast of the Passover, they were to remember of God's deliverance out of Egypt. That was how they escaped the death angel as it come through. The angel passed over because they had the blood upon the doorpost. They were to celebrate this once each year in the springtime. But something that went along with that, that observation of the Passover, said they were to take a sheaf of green barley. Barley was a major crop for them, and it was an early crop. And not only when they were not to wait until the crop was ripe, but as soon as the barley was grown, and even while it was still green, it was a sign of a prosperous year. They were to take this sheaf and wave it before the Lord. This was a symbol or a token of a prosperous year to come. They were to do that to remember God's deliverance from them. Said in the summertime, when the next crop came in, happened to be wheat, another major crop form, another important crop form, they were to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. This is an observation to cause them to remember the giving of the law at Sinai, that God was their lawgiver. He was not only in Passover, He was their deliverer, but now He is their lawgiver. They would celebrate the Feast of Pentecost. And part of that Feast of the Pentecost, they were to take the ripened wheat, the major crop of their year, and they were baking in two loaves of bread. And they were to wave these two loaves of bread before the Lord to remember that He is the lawgiver. He is their deliverer. He said in the fall, in the latter part of the religious year, the Jewish year runs to the seventh or eighth month. I'm not sure which. But in the last part of the year, which would be July or August, they were to celebrate the Feast of the Tabernacle. They were to come before the Lord with prayers of thanksgiving. They were to bring the first and the best of the crop. It's called the first fruits. I know we think of the first fruits of Jesus Christ being the first fruits of them that slept, that He rose first as a token and an emblem that we will have a hope in glory. But He says we're to bring before the Lord three times a year our first fruits, to bring the green barley, we're to bring the loaves of bread, and then we're to bring all them that's gathered together. We bring all the fruits in to show that He has brought us into this promised land. We bring before Him the first fruits of our harvest that He has bountifully blessed us. When we look at the first fruits, you were to go into the field just when the crops were ripened, and you were to see the best and pick it out and offer it unto God. It was a representation of the whole, just like Jesus Christ was representing all that were dead in Christ Jesus. You were to pick out the best and give to God as a token of your appreciation, that you remembered what He had done for you. I got a cousin in the mountain that has the most beautiful grapevines I've ever seen. And you walk up and it's huge clusters of grapes, and they look like they ought to be in a picture. And it seems like when I walk up, I can pick out the biggest and best bunch of them. My mouth's watering before I ever get there. I'm waiting for one of those grapes. But He says, when you pick out the best, when you pick out the first one you see, you don't give it to yourself, you give it unto the Lord as a token that you remember what He's done for you. These feasts that they had, they were given to cause them to remember. We're not in Egypt now. We were never in bondage. We were never wandering in the wilderness. We don't keep these feasts anymore, but we still have the charge. We still have the blessings that God has provided for us. We still dwell in the Canaan's land. We sometimes are lifted up in our church and in our prayers to dwell in Canaan's land. We still see God's blessing, so we still have a charge. We're supposed to give unto God according as He blessed us. Give Him the first fruits. These first fruits that we're to offer is. God has blessed us with blessings. This is a token that He is a faithful and a true God. When He said He swore by His fathers that He would bring them into the land, and then He would bless the land. And when we have this blessing from God, it's a token that He is a faithful and a true God. And when we offer this token back to Him, these first fruits, it's a sign that we accept. We understand that we have no righteousness of our own. We have these blessings from God. But it's by His mercy. We didn't earn them. We didn't become masters of this land that we have here today because of our knowledge and strength. We till this land, and some of us are successful farmers, and some of us, like me, can't grow weeds hardly. But we have become masters of the land, but we become them as tenants because God still has the ownership of them. And any increase in harvest that we have will be because He has blessed this land. 26th chapter. It says, and it shall be when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for the inheritance, and possesseth it, and dwelleth therein, thou shalt take of the first of the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of the land that the Lord thy God giveth. Now this is different from the three feasts. Here's the charge. This is a distinction between the Old Testament type of worship and the New Testament type of worship. Here's a distinction that even though we don't dwell in a land of bondage anymore, even though we're not in the wilderness, we are dwelling in Canaan's land. And because we have that charge, if we want to go in and be strong and possess this land to be a partaker of His blessings, then we're to keep this charge. He says, take the first of all the fruits. They had many fruits. They had wheat and barley and pomegranates and grapes and dates and figs. They had to take them all and put them in a basket. The first fruits is a token of God's blessings to you. Put them in a basket and present them unto the Lord. You take them to the priest of those times. Whatever priest it happens to be in these days, that priest happens to be our high priest, Jesus Christ. So we're to take a token of our blessings that God has blessed us with. We're to bring them before the high priest. We bring them and the high priest takes them. And they wave them before the Lord. This is a token of it. And he's supposed to say unto him, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God that I am come into the country which the Lord sware unto our fathers. Declare that we are unrighteous. That this is a token of your blessings to me, and I offer it back to you. I come that I have realized these blessings. I realize this by thy mercy. I present this token back to you. And said, and the priest shall take the basket out of thy hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord. This is an offering unto God. A token of the blessings we have received from Him. And he said, that was the first part. You're supposed to bring the blessing, the token of the blessings that God has given you. Bring them and present them to the priest. Come into the church door. Present your body as a living sacrifice. But there's two parts to it. He says, bring them in and set them down, and thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God, a Syrian ready to perish was my father. And he went down into Egypt and sojourned there with a few and became a nation great, mighty, and populous. They were confessing that their father Jacob, he was a Syrian. He was born in Canaan land. His mother was a Syrian. He dwelt there for 20 years. They were professing that all that they had, when they had presented their token of God's blessings to them before God, they professed that he had no right to these blessings. That the land had been bound up to them. They declared that it was not by birthright, and they hadn't earned what they've got. God had been merciful to them. It was by His mercy. This is the second part. It's a free gift. The first part was an obligation to recognize God had provided this. He'd given you this increase in the crops. The second part of it, and this is before we lose a lot of people. we've got to realize it's by His mercy. They had a confession that they were to claim that it was not by their works. He shows our barrenness and our weakness and our unworthiness to accept God's grace. Many people can't accept that. Many people can't see the doctrine of sovereign grace. They can't see God's mercy. He said in John 14, he said, if you abide in me, he's talking about he's the true vine, that all blessings, if you are in the true vine, if you preach Jesus and Him crucified, if you are in the true vine, you are a branch. And your nourishment and your food and your care has to come from that. Many people say that Jesus saved me and called me, but now I'm perfect and all I have to do is accept or reject. It's left up to me of whether I want to go to heaven or not. But we have to realize that if we're saved, it's saved by God's mercy. He said, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. This is what glorifies God, that we bear much fruit, that we present evidences of it, of His grace to us. If He's blessed you, I don't care how He's blessed you. If He's given you a wonderful singing voice, you ought to be in church declaring His glory with your voice. If He's given you a way to pray unto Him, a voice of prayer, you ought to be praying and praising His glory. If He's given you the ability to preach the gospel, you ought to be preaching. You're supposed to present a token back to Him. He says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. This is salvation by grace. This is sovereign grace. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. This is what He's told us to do. He said, declare that I have blessed you. When we come to God, when we come and present our bodies a living sacrifice, that's only half of it. We have to declare that all we have is by His grace. This is where it loses a lot of services today. They can declare that God has blessed them, but they said, I had to help Him. Hey, if I go to heaven, anybody that tells you that you've got to help God, anybody that tells you that your blessings you have, even up to and including eternal life, is because of what you've done, is a false prophet and they ought to be rejected. It's a dishonor to my God. It's a dishonor to His Son. And it's also a dishonor to my Savior that He died on the cross for me by His mercy. Let's praise Him this day because He saved us and called us by His grace, not by our works. Praise Him this day. I trust that something that has been said would mean something to you. I announce the doors of the church are open, the reception of members. If you have a desire to be at home with God's saints, come now before we close this day. I don't know of any announcements that we need to make. Someone have a song? I ask you to remember the expense of the church. It costs something to keep the church doors open. Continue to pray.
Page 37.
Sounds good to me. Stand and offer the hand of fellowship and friendship to your brothers and sisters. I invite you all to come back. Pray for me and have a mind to pray.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that blood lose all their guilty stains.
no
library meeting. Next time you go,
Next Sunday, second Sunday, be our regular meeting.
I mean the library meeting, next Saturday.
No, that be a while before that. That was just passed.
All hearts and minds are satisfied. Let's look to the Lord to be dismissed. O holy and righteous God, we thank thee for this day. Thank thee for our health as it is. We thank you for our care and our guidance. Continue to be around about us, lead and guide our footsteps. Go with us the remainder of this day and throughout the week and days to come. Continue to cause us to look to thee and see thy mercy and thy grace manifested upon us, realizing all blessings and all grace comes from thee. Go with us, lead and guide our footsteps, protect and keep us from all harm and evil, bless the sick and the afflicted and the shut in. Comfort us when we need comfort. Be around about us at all times. In Jesus' precious name, we humbly pray. Amen.